This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Twenty minutes after the hour, we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, and with me on our First Advantage Hotline, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, I had to laugh. You were interviewing Michael Porter Jr. the other night, and he was looking all over for you, and you were over off to the right side. You're like, "I'm over here, man." It was good.
It was funny. Yeah, you know, it's funny because. You know, it's funny how quickly you get used to a certain thing. So, you know, when these games started, we were a little higher in the crowd, and the players would have to look up to find out where we are. You know, with no fans and all that. And then also, if you're doing the radio interview, we always kind of wave at them because we're in section 260 on that's like the suite level, and so they're always looking up as well. So. Players are fairly well conditioned to look up to try to find the interview if you're not standing right in front of them. And so, yeah, Michael Porter, he was looking up and all around. And I said, "Oh, but I'm right here, though."
I loved it, man. How fun is this, Chris? This team. I mean, I know I joke, but the whole Gary Clark thing, he's gone. I hope they don't lose now, Chris. But this team is so fun to watch, especially you get Aaron Gordon in. It's like, it seriously feels like a puzzle. Like, we just completed this puzzle finally. It was good. It looked cool. But Aaron Gordon was the missing piece. And how about this? I mean, they just keep rolling through wins.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, they're just a really formidable basketball team. You know, when you're talking about what they're able to do on a nightly basis now, and just the pressure they're able to put on defenses, on their offensive end. And this was obviously a good offense already. I mean, you're talking about an offense that was, top five in scoring, maybe even top three in scoring. And then the offensive efficiency was definitely top three. And so what they just did was to add a player that makes them that much more difficult to cover. And so that just it gives them, you know, they have margin for error. You know, a player can have a down game or maybe even two right now, and they can still reasonably expect to hit 115 points or more and still win a basketball game because Aaron Gordon gives them the ability to have another player that can go 20 plus. And then obviously defensively, you know, he's, you know, to your point about the puzzle piece, I mean, he really does make it all make sense on the defensive end and gives the Nuggets the ability to be able to switch a lot more stuff on the perimeter and still hold up a little bit more. They're going to want to do that a little bit better against San Antonio Spurs on Friday. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, his addition just enhances the equation, and they really are a tough team, and you're starting to see nationally people starting to recognize that.
Yeah, no question about it at all. We're talking to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. And Chris, last night, I think all as fans, we all felt like we were going to get ejected. We've been frustrated watching this team as far as the referees go with Nikola Jokic, and it kind of bubbled over last night. Malone gets the boot. I thought he was going to take the basketball with him, actually, but this is our poll question, Chris. We asked, do you think that NBA officials are treating Nikola Jokic unfairly? What are you seeing out there when you watch? Because Joker's clearly frustrated.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I guess unfairly, I wouldn't say unfairly, but I would say, boy, maybe not exactly the same as some of the other stars. And you know, I was discussing this with Jason Kosmiski yesterday, and you know, it's not as if, you know, Nikola does spend a lot of time on the perimeter, obviously, at the elbows and at the angles, you know, with the dribble handoffs and everything that they do out toward the perimeter. But he's also, you know, in the post, and we see him posting up a lot. And the Nuggets are top three in terms of a percentage of their possessions that are post-ups. And so from that angle, it really is – It's head shaking how he could average fewer than five free throws a game. Like it really is head shaking because he's not a finesse player. We've seen him get into these situations where you know, they cut out the side for him. It's a real physical back down of the defender, and then, you know, a powerful, you know, move to the basket. You know, you're getting fouled on a lot of those possessions. You know, and and certainly more than just four or five free throws in a game. And so, but yeah, that is very frustrating. And I have to give Jokic credit because, I mean, think about over the last couple of seasons what me and you have talked about in terms of keeping his composure through that kind of stuff, through no calls, through, you know, he used to kind of, get real emotional, kind of fly off the handle sometimes a little bit. And we don't see that almost ever out of him anymore. And so you know that if he's going to start getting mad at an official, it's really getting to him. And I think if you're Coach Michael Malone, you're just flat out tired of your MVP candidate just get out there taking a beating and never getting a foul call or very rarely getting a foul call. And so I completely understood him blowing his top in that instance, because how much more does he have to watch that before referees actually call that? And I think that's just where he was yesterday. He's like, I'm tired of watching this. I'm tired of watching my guy get beat up and never or almost never be rewarded with fouls. And so I'm like, Mount Kilimanjaro. I'm going to erupt like a volcano.
Yeah, I mean, he was hot, man. There's no doubt. Chris, we've had some texters because we were talking about this earlier, just saying, hey, isn't the bigger problem the NBA and their treatment of star players? And I always wondered where that starts, because it clearly happens. LeBron James, yeah. they don't necessarily, it's not like they're protecting, but they look the other way sometimes, superstars. How does that conversation go? Is this something where the NBA sits down at the beginning of the season and says, hey, these are our stars. We want to make sure they get theirs. We don't want them on the bench. We don't want them getting in foul trouble. You tell me, Chris, I mean, what goes into this? Because we do know that there's star treatment in the league. There's star treatment in the NFL too, but I wanted to get your take.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's definitely not verbalized in any shape, way, shape, or form. You know, the NBA, in fact, will say that there is no star treatment. And yet, to your point on, there's always this. So if there's no star treatment and then star player X, let's just say it's James Harden. Oh, let's just say it's LeBron James. LeBron James picks up his fifth foul and then fouls out in, let's just call it, midway through the fourth quarter of a game that's kind of tight. And then nationally, the league starts to be, criticized for, well, we didn't come here to see the referee's ref. We came here to see our stars, and they shouldn't be fouled out of the game. And so while then there is no obvious rules, and there's definitely not preferential treatment in that manner, kind of subconsciously there is, because you're not going to foul out a star player, because there is so much involved in terms of those individuals being on the court and for the entertainment of the fans, and they don't want to not see the star be on the court because of foul calls. And so I think, this is my personal opinion, I think it's subconsciously, yeah, you're refereeing a game that way. And then you're also refereeing a game, you're having maybe too much respect for players who are star guys or are big names in the league. Maybe sometimes they are committing fouls that are ticky-tack fouls that may not be called for somebody else are absolutely called for the star player. It's a complex issue. The NBA would take absolute issue with anybody who thinks it's a conspiracy theory against everybody else. But I think subconsciously in the way some of these games are refereed, those things are definitely issues.
Yeah, no doubt. And I don't know that it ever, it's never going to change, right? I mean, that you're talking about a completely change of mindset for officials, unless you just get a brand new crop of officials in overnight. I really don't see that ever changing, to be honest, Chris. Maybe a little bit here and there, but I do see maybe refs just tend to look the other way. I don't think they're actively looking to try to save a LeBron James, but I just think it's maybe easier to have a no call for LeBron if that's the case.
Yeah, no, I think there's no doubt about it. LeBron goes to the rim. I mean, this is what we all see: LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Insert star player here. They go to the rim and there's contact. That's foul call, and that's not necessarily true for The majority of the players in the NBA, I mean, you know, you can look at some of the Nuggets when they go to the rim. Michael Porter Jr. has a lot of situations where he feels like he's been fouled. He doesn't get those calls. You know, and so we know that there is a difference in how these players, some players are refereed over some other players. But, you know, so we'll see. You know, we'll see. I don't think that that's a thing that will ever change. I just think in the case of Nikola Jokic, I think we all look at that and say, well, okay. I mean, he's a star. So, yeah. You know, so shouldn't he get some of the same calls? Like Joel Embiid, did he just have a game recently where he went to the free throw line like 20 times?
Yeah.
And so, you know, wow. You know, and you know, so it's, you know, it's difficult, and I'm sure the Nuggets have broached this subject with the league a little bit in terms of him not getting calls and or not getting the calls that they think he should get, and you know, we'll see. Nikola will just have to continue to play through it, and we'll see how this kind of, you know, develops down the road.
Yeah. Chris, last night, again, taking care of the Spurs, aside from Malone not being out there to finish this thing off, you're doing it without Jamal Murray and the last two games, and that just kind of goes to show you how deep this team is. And, you know, Campazzo gets the start. Thought that was, you know, Campazzo was so much fun to watch, and I thought that was a pretty cool moment for him to get that. Even when he's not, you know, racking up the points. He had 6 points in this one. He is still pretty important, a pretty important piece to this Nuggets team.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he gives it energy, and defensive presence, and a little bit of toughness. I mean, he brings all those things to the court. And then obviously on the offensive end, I mean, he brings imagination is the best way I can put it. He's composed in terms of he understands what he's doing in terms of running the offense. And the sets that they want to get into in the ball, who should get the ball and where they should get the ball. But also he plays with imagination and flair. And, you know, all of that stuff has been really very valuable to a Nuggets team. You know, sometimes we'll say, in the past we say, well, that, you know, there's just not been a lot of energy on the court. And I just think those instances have been fewer this season. And I think a large part of that is because Faku comes out and just raises the energy level all the time. And so, I mean, if he's out there with you know, kind of flying around, that becomes contagious on most nights. And so the Nuggets energy level as a team remains high. And so he is intangible as much as he is tangible, you know. And for the Nuggets, and so you're right, you can look at a box score and go, well, that box score isn't fantastic. But with your own eyes, you saw the impact that he had on a basketball court, and that's where we are with Faku. And so, if he's also going to be knocking in shots on nights like that, then it's icing on the cake. But you know, at the baseline, he's going to bring energy. He's going to help your defense, and then offensively, he's going to make sure that you stay on schedule more often than you don't.
Chris, what's the ideal spot for the Nuggets? Obviously, we can easily say number one in the Western Conference, but sitting at fourth right now, the teams in front of them, Clippers, Suns, and Jazz, aren't slowing down. I mean, I think all of the top four teams have all been like 8-2, 9-1 in the last 10 games. Jazz and Suns played last night. But where do you see the Nuggets finishing? And ideally, where do you want them to finish?
I just want them to finish in the top four. I mean, they just, you know, get the home court advantage in that first round, and then go from there. I don't think there's a good position.
Yeah, you know? I don't either.
I mean, all of these teams are really, really good. And, if you're playing, listen, if you're the number one seed or number two seed and it's starting to shake out, like you're going to face, I don't know, let's call it Memphis or something. I mean, that would be a situation where, yeah, you might want the number one seed to be able to do that. But beyond that, I don't know who you're maneuvering to get away from, because all of these teams are so good. And even if you say you have the third seed and you have to play the Portland Trailblazers, that won't be easy, you know. So there's no great – I don't think there's any real great place to be other than maybe the number one seed, but certainly you want to be in that top four just to have game sevens in your building as long as possible before you get to maybe the, you know, say the conference finals if you are the actual four seed. So I think for the Nuggets, it's about maintaining where they are. And you're right, all these teams are super hot. Like, I think the Phoenix Suns have the best record in the NBA, in the NBA since like January 25th. And obviously we know what Utah has been just lighting the world on fire with their play over the course of the entire season. And though the Nuggets have beaten the Clippers, you're right. I mean, the Clippers continue to maintain, you know, that third spot there in the West. And so the Nuggets, you know, I think the one thing the Nuggets have going for them is the schedule continues to be easy, you know, and you know, they have one of the easiest schedules from here to the end of the season. And right now they are taking care of business. I mean, these are not close victories that they're playing. And so as long as they're able to continue to get some of these teams that they can just beat up on and stack victories, then they're going to find themselves in a good position. But, boy, those teams, as you just said, they are all playing really, really well.
Yeah, and they're rocking teams. I mean, the Nuggets are looking fantastic. But, the playoffs are going to be so much fun either way. It's going to be tight, and I can't wait to get it going. Chris, what's next? As far as coverage for you guys, when does everything get rolling tomorrow night?
Yeah, tomorrow night against the Spurs again. So coverage will start at 6 o'clock on Altitude. We were on Altitude 2 the other day, yesterday. But tomorrow will be on Altitude Maine. And, yeah, coverage starts at 6 o'clock, the game at 7. And then post-game should be a full post-game show afterwards. And we'll have you covered. I will be on the radio broadcast along with Kaz. So that's Altitude 92.5. And then we have all the social media stuff going on as well. So we'll have you covered from social to radio to television, everywhere, starting at 6.
Love it, man. Hey, last one for you. Jamal Murray. Can we expect him to play tomorrow night?
That's a good question. I mean, I think if I were the Nuggets, I don't know. I might hold them out until they go on the road.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can handle the San Antonio Spurs without them, and then you'll have the Boston Celtics coming in after that, and you know, they're obviously they can be a dangerous team. They have really good players, but they're not playing like it. You know, they're just playing 500 basketball. So, I mean, if you can kind of get away with a couple of more games with him sitting out and resting, and then you can bring him back on the road, I think they would. But this has been really, really good to get him what amounts to be what, 3 days of rest now. So he could play. I think if these were playoff games, he probably would. So that's how close he is to being able to play. But as long as the Nuggets can get away with it, I think maybe they should.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. If you can get away with it, absolutely. Chris, always appreciate you, my man. And we'll see if the Nuggets can keep it rolling when we talk next week. Maybe zero losses between now and next week. We can hope, right?
Yeah, we certainly can. Hey, the way it's looking right now, I mean, they'll never lose again. Aaron Gordon here.
Aaron Gordon, man. I thought it was Gary Clark, but we're going to find out tomorrow, right, if it was Aaron Gordon or Gary Clark in the mix.
Exactly. Maybe it'll be the Shaq Harrison era. We'll see.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, Chris Dempsey there. And while we were talking to Mr. Dempsey, the Rockies just went ahead and went a little nuts in the first inning there, up 3-0 now, and everybody there for a while. I didn't think they were going to miss. John Gray looking sharp, two outs, top of the second. Thursday night specials looking good. Kovacs, we need to jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.